Welcome to the Leader, Manager, Coach podcast, where we share knowledge, philosophies, wisdom, and insight to help you on your journey in both sport and life. Introducing your host, Rob Riles.
Hello. Now, just before we get into this week's episode, I just want to say a couple of thank yous. This is an episode that I'll hold my hand up personally and say was amongst those I've been most excited to do. And you'll work that out when I get into the episode. I'd just like to thank my son and Marcus for making it happen. It was a great honour and a great privilege to spend an hour in the company of somebody that, as a young boy, I completely idolised. And having met the man personally in question, I certainly haven't changed my opinion. Complete humility and a beautiful human being. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode. Hello and welcome to the Leader Manager Coach podcast. Welcome along, it's Rob Riles welcoming you to another edition. Now in today's programme, I'm absolutely delighted to be able to bring somebody to speak to us who I don't mind admitting that as a young boy standing on football terraces, I did idolise, just like many other people. I'd probably go as far as to say that, amazingly enough, still, for a team that played in the 1970s, the person that I'm fortunate enough to be able to speak to is still idolised as probably the most loved player from that era. As well as his career with Stoke City, he had an illustrious career with Manchester United. Probably fulfilled the dream of scoring an FA Cup final goal, like a lot of kids dream of. Also played for Birmingham, Leeds United, and I probably missed out a couple of clubs, so I'm sure he'll put me right on that. I think he was the best volleyer of a football I've ever seen, and not that I'm the final judge on that, but I've yet to see anybody so good at that particular skill. And you know, I'm absolutely delighted to be able to bring you Jimmy Greenough. Jimmy, welcome to Leader Manager Coach.
Hey Rob.
Well, thank you very much for giving up your time. And
yeah, it's a pleasure.
So Jimmy, this podcast is a lot about leading, managing and coaching. And I've had a little look through your playing career, and I believe that when you first started out, or early on, and I don't know whether this is your first coach, there was somebody called Sid Owens, is that right? Is that your first coach?
And the best.
Right, so what I'd love to know is, what's your memories of you of the experience you had with this particular coach, and why was he so good, and what was it about him that maybe helped you in your early career?
Well, he was, I'd gone straight from school, and he was the coach at Leeds. I don't think he was given the credit. Reevey took it all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no, Sid's knowledge of the game was absolutely incredible, and I was a wing half when I first started, went from school. But we had a captain at Leeds who was idolised by Don Reevey, and quite rightly so. He was one of my best mates there as well, even though he was about 5 years older than me, Billy Bremner. And Billy Bremner was a wing half, and I was a wing half. So there's no way I was going to get in. It was Don Reevey's favourite, but he was a brilliant, brilliant player. And Sid Owens saw, he got every game, first team, reserves and what have you. And he suggested to Don Reevey that they play me up front.
Yeah.
And I did, and he played him. He did what Sid asked, and the rest was kind of, it was the best thing that happened to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Playing with the ball in front of me rather than me back, behind me.
Yeah.
He just saw something. And I'll tell you how good he was, because a few years later, Mark Hughes was a wing half.
Right.
And he changed him up from.
Right.
He was coached then. trainer of the reserve team.
Right. So that was Sid Owens working with Mark Hughes.
He turned Mark Hughes from a wing half like myself to a centre forward like myself.
Right.
Or number 10, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so how old are you when he was coaching you, Jimmy? How old would you be then? Like 16, above 16, 18?
No. When I went from school, I'd be start off like 15.
Right. And would you describe him as like a disciplinarian, or was he somebody that you could go to and you felt comfortable with? Were you like in awe of him, or was he nice to work with?
I felt he was. He hurt a lot of people, nearly had them to tears. But it was all for your best, you know what I mean? And I remember when I met up with Mark, he came to Stowe for a golf day. And he said, "You were under Sid, weren't you, Jim?" I said, "I were." "Oh, you frightened me to death,"
Mark said.
I said, "But he did the business with you, didn't he, mate?" And he says, "Quite right."
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting.
Some couldn't, I suppose, because he did bowl a lot, you know.
So he used to shout. He was strict that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was all for you, though. What he was doing and having a go at,
it
was all for you, for the benefit of you.
So you, as a player, you recognise that underneath his way of doing it, he had your best interest at heart. You
definitely
knew that. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. And I always remember when I first got my, was it youth cap? Or under 23, I think it was youth cap. And Don Reeby, I remember him coming and said, "I think you've got somebody to thank for that, don't you?"
Did he?
And I knew who he meant straight away. And I just did that. I kind of just like to say thanks, Sid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was Don Reeby like to be managed by or coached by?
I liked him at first, and then at the end I left because of him. I couldn't.
Right.
I have to be honest. Speaking honest to you, I just didn't want to be in his company anymore.
Yeah. So it started off all right. Football's a tough
game.
I mean, he
gave me debut at 16.
Yeah.
I mean, what's to be wrong?
It doesn't happen now, does it?
No.
16. Very rarely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so, was he a coach or a manager? Was Don, yeah.
Manager.
Yeah. Yeah. So did he have somebody who did the coaching for him?
Sid.
So Sid did all his coaching for him.
Sid did the coach, and Les Cocker, who was trainer for England.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Them two.
Yeah, yeah. And when you transitioned from wing half to playing up front, was that a revelation to you, or did you think, do you know what, it's easier for me, or I'm more suited to it, or Jimmy, or did you have to work hard at
getting... I never thought about moving up, you know. I thought to get a game in... Leeds' team, I had to go right wing.
Yeah.
And to be honest, that's where they put me to give me a game. It was nice that way. But I never dreamt that I'd be like a striker up there. And I just loved it. And I think I took to it like duck to water, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, obviously. Obviously did. And then am I right in saying that you went to Birmingham after that?
Yeah.
And when you were at Birmingham... If I'm not incorrect, was it Stan Cullis?
Yeah.
Now he's been a big name in the world of football.
He was big then as well. He'd done Wolverhampton, Wolverhampton were a good side.
Yeah.
They were the first ones on TV on for night matches. I remember all that. And I remember Stan Cullis was kind of feared by the Wolves team if he shouted and jumped.
They jumped, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, they did.
And so can you remember what that was like working for him? Was it was it easy in terms of relating to him? How did he manage his teams?
Well, he didn't take training.
No.
There's a guy called Joe Mallett, football man, you know, a bit like Sid Owen, so that was okay. I could fit in there. But as much as he did strange things, Stan, I quite liked him, you know. I really did. I mean, I moved from there eventually, well, not so long after, because of something he said to me. And then when I kind of moved on, we liked one another, didn't we? And he he kind of spoke well of me to Tony Waddington when I came to Stoke. So there was kind of a love there, really.
Yeah,
you know?
Really. Yeah. Now, obviously, that then time in a timely manner brings us to Tony Waddington and your career at Stoke. And obviously, from a biased perspective, that's what kind of, you know, it for me was your... As a supporter at that time, Jimmy was the pinnacle of your career, although Manchester United fans would I'm sure disagree with that. But I know how much you know you loved if you talk about the 70s team. I'd love to know from your perspective what it was like working for Tony Waddington as your manager through your career at Stoke.
It was all right, it was Tony, yeah. I mean, he brought it all play. The players that the lads that he wanted, you know, and it was more or less throw you the ball and
get on
and entertain them lads.
So, can you remember what training was like? Was it like, did he do any of the training? Was it structured in any way?
I'm gonna laugh at this. But at the end of training, he always finished off with a game anyway, and he'd join in or tried to. And I don't know if you ever saw him run.
No, well, I can't say
well,
I did.
He didn't run, he couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was kind of falling over all the time, but he just dying to get a little one
little
touch in with him. And
Yeah,
I feel sad that I wish he could have kind of joined in with us all. With, you know, his,
so, so was were you as a group of players, did he have a coach? Did he? Because...
Well, we didn't have a... We're upset a few people here, aren't I? He didn't have a coach that I thought knew that much about.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know something about football, don't get me wrong, I'm not. But he had a lad from... who played for Liverpool.
Alan Acourt.
And a lovely man, anyway.
Yeah,
so
Alan,
you'd run for him. And because that's what it was when you were training.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wasn't too fond of run.
No.
Up Trentham.
Trentham Hills, yeah.
Give us the ball and phew, lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a lot of running work without the ball.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Up Trenton, the mills.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard.
Them flies getting in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. You know all the little rat runs around there, Jimmy. Yeah,
get away, fly. Well,
yeah.
Flipping fly, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay, so, and I'm going to come back to some of the players you played with, if we can. So anybody who knows the history, Jimmy, knows that you had a great set of players there that did some really, really good things, and probably if the truth's known, didn't quite reach the potential that you could have done in terms of if you'd had more time, you know, because of the finances of the club were a big problem, weren't they, Jimmy, at that point?
We'll come to that at the end.
In a minute.
I think we'd better do.
We'll do that at the end. So then... I think every individual in Stoke-on-Trent almost cried their eyes out when you went to Manchester United. But that must have been, I don't know, I'll ask you, that must have been because you're in Manchester United, you know, whatever you say, they if not the biggest club in the world, they're one of them, aren't they?
I think most kids, you know, I mean, especially in my day, all they wanted to do was play for Man United. That was their dream.
Yes.
But what you had to remember, or what they had to remember, I was more than happy at Stoke.
Yeah.
I really was. The supporters loved me to death. I knew that. I was a player that needed an arm round me and a pat on the back. I didn't need a rollicking to get the best out of me. And that's what they gave me.
They did,
first
Jimmy.
Club to chant my name, and it was bloody lovely.
Jimmy, and we must touch on that before we finish this. But were you under Dave Sexton when you first went to United?
No, Tommy Dock.
Tommy Dock. So go on. What can you remember about how Tommy Dock was as a manager or a coach or how he dealt with you? You got memories of that?
He had a few people that didn't like him.
Tommy?
Because he was straight to the point. Mm-hmm. I liked him a hell of a lot.
Mm.
And I really, really liked him. The players, he was a bit like Tony in the sense that he got the players that he wanted. No tactics whatsoever.
Seriously.
Throw the ball to you as you're going out. Go and entertain them once again. You know what I mean?
Brilliant.
And what else could you do? And especially at the end, you had to entertain them with the likes of Alan Hudson, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when, because Dave Sexton followed Tommy Dock, yes? Yeah. And now, from, if you believe what you read, Dave Sexton was much more structured and strict and a coach rather than a manager, if I'm correct.
Spot on.
And was that difficult, Jimmy?
Well, yeah, Tommy had it right. I mean, it was a case of throw the Martin Buck on the ball and go and entertain them, yeah. You know. Unfortunately, when Dave came in, lovely, lovely man, don't get me wrong, I don't think anybody hated him.
No.
It was left arm up for near post, two arms up for far post, and it was all kind of signals. And then what did he do anyway? He puts Mickey Thomas on all the free kicks. Now, Mickey didn't know his left from his right. Great lad. Did you ever meet him?
I did, yeah. I treated him, Mickey. I did.
I kind of what they called him as well. I kind of always used to be putting my arm around him. Because at times, Mickey thought, I'm sure that he felt that he shouldn't be playing with all these big names.
Well, if you speak to him, Jimmy, Mickey was I treated Mickey when he had an injury. One of his injuries, and he created carnage in the department where he was, because he couldn't just concentrate on his own injury. He had everybody else involved in, and they were in out laughter. You know, you can imagine.
I can see you that.
Yeah. But I've heard him speak, and he said, Jimmy, when he's been doing some of his after dinner speaking, that he had a massive inferiority. He said complex. He said I was happy at Wrexham when I was in my own little bubble, but. He said he used to go and sit in the toilet at Man United and he used to think, oh my God, I'm going to be sick.
Oh, well, he's told you that. So now I'll tell you, but when we used to be at the training ground, when he'd kind of, oh God, I'll go in to the toilet, but he'd still be there at the end of training session. But he's moved, and this made us all, he's moved to the sauna.
Right.
Where we got a sauna. And Lou McCarty was a bugger, you know what I mean, at winding people up and what have you. And he goes, Lou's in the... Mickey's in the sauna, right. So they turn it up.
Right.
Oh, dear me. And that's how it was. We shouldn't have done that because, like I said, he felt in awe of everyone, you know, all the players that he was playing with. And should I be here, really?
Mm.
But he should have been here. He was a good player.
Oh, absolutely. Are you struggling to find that extra edge to help you stand out above the crowd? Separating yourself from the rest is often about personal leadership. Achieve your true potential and become who you really can be. The Leader Manager Coach Pro Course is a unique membership accessing the knowledge and wisdom from history's greats that will help you develop both personally and professionally to make you truly stand out. The Leader Manager Coach Pro Course. Access now at patreon.com. Leader Manager Coach. So I know that you, after United, that you had a spell in America, Jimmy, playing, and then came back to England, and you met up with Waddo again and did a crew. Had a few games at Crewe. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think why I did that. I did. Yeah, I just come back. Yeah, and we went there. And we were way down in the divisions, but I got this bad pelvic injury.
That's right.
Bad pelvic, and I could hardly walk. And if I drove up to Manchester, I couldn't, could hardly get out of the car. And so then I got hold of Waddo and just said, can I come here and just go through the motions, really, it's wrong. But I couldn't have stayed at Manchester United with that injury.
No.
They'd seen what I could do.
He couldn't do it anymore.
They'd been saying he's not trying.
Yeah, yeah.
He's walking about, look at him.
Yeah.
But,
So
I couldn't stay, and so I went there.
Yeah.
And then when I went there after that, I went to watch a game at Cobridge somewhere, it was. And the chairman of Port Vale was there.
Yeah.
And he just said to me, "Will you come to us now?" And I just thought, right, I've played for Stoke, I've played for Crewe, I'm going to play for Port Vale. They can't ever go at me. Nobody.
Yeah, in the city. Did it? That's great.
So I went there in first year, got promoted. So brilliant. I did my bit for Port Vale. So. And I don't think it was so much of a deal from the Stoke.
No.
Fans.
they'd had the best of you.
If they'd have been up there at top, they'd be Man United and I'd have gone there and got them, they'd have played hell, wouldn't they?
They would.
Yeah.
Was that under John McGrath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rudgie.
You played under Rudgie, was your manager?
Rudgie was the coach.
Yeah. So, and what I'd like to just touch on, Jimmy, is then you went to Rochdale as a player manager, didn't you? What was that like as an experience?
Shouldn't have gone. My brother couldn't get a bloody club. Couldn't get a club. Then kept pestering me and he said, Rochdale job's up for sale. Why don't, you know, So I thought to help him out, I didn't want him packing the game in at a youngish age. Then we got talking to them in fair play, they listened, and I thought, yeah. And then all the things that I kind of said to them, well, I'll get this player. And I did, I tapped them up, you know. And I got them to come in, and I'll be honest with you, they were willing to come to Rochdale for Jimmy Greenough, not for Rochdale.
Right.
And then when I took over, all the promises that they kept, not one of them came.
No.
So it was bye-bye, I'm not wasting my time.
Yeah.
So it was a Rick doing it, you know.
So, from what you're saying, Jimmy, it doesn't sound like you had a burning ambition to be a manager. It sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you went there because of your brother initially. Okay. So, and I don't think you could say being a football manager's it has to be 110%, doesn't it? Because it's all consuming, isn't it?
And it has both ways, from the directors to the manager, the players have all got to, and they'd let me down before even the job started.
Weren't having that. So that's a real nice walk through the managers that you've been under, and wow, when you think about the people who've been your coaches and managers, from Sid Owens and Don Revy and Stan Cullis and Tony Waddington and Tommy Dark and blimey, Dave Sexton, that's a who's who of people,
yeah.
Jimmy, you know, and I don't think unless you walk through that you'd realise. So as a player then, if I can, what was it like, say, playing with, so there you are at United and you've got these managers like Tommy Dock, and let's stick at United at the minute, where Tommy Dock could actually throw you the ball and say, go and entertain the 60,000. I mean, unbelievable. And you're playing with Buchan, as you say, was he your captain, Martin Buchan?
Good captain.
It was Joe Jordan, was he there then, or did he come later?
He came, and lovely man, lovely, we all know Joe. But Dave Sexton bought him and Gordon McQueen, 2 6-foot odds.
Yeah.
And to put Joe in, he had to leave me or Stuart out. And
right.
I didn't go down too well with the players. They used to play up to feet to us, and then the midfielders
join in. Yeah.
And they'd just go and get the 15 goals a season.
Yeah.
When Joe came, and the ball kept going up and coming back.
Yeah. Different style.
It wouldn't stick. He couldn't do it. But to be right with about Joe, he worked really hard on it. He worked so hard after training sessions. He would do extra training.
Knock the ball up to me. Yeah.
His one touch wasn't very good, but at the end it became all right.
Yeah. Made a career out of the game, Jimmy. Yeah, didn't he? Mm. He did. So that was. So who else was it great playing with when you were at United? Who else was it great?
Well, it was just nice playing with your brother, wasn't it?
I'm sure.
Man United, your brother. Young brother, excuse me. So that was kind of icing on the cake as well. Mum and dad.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. And then if we come back to when you were at Stoke, Jimmy, if you wouldn't have to do a poll of many supporters to say, well, you know, it was when you played with Alan Uddy that people as supporters would remember the great bits. What, from your point of view, was it the whole team? Was it, you know, with Terry and or anybody in particular?
No, I mean, it was nice in a way with Terry, but Terry loved playing 1-2, so he was only the one, knock it up to me and get it back. Terry could have been, I wouldn't say a world beater, but he used to kind of beat his men. He'd look up and I'd run near post and what have you. And then when I got there to tap it in, I'd look again and he'd gone back to have another go at him.
Beat him again.
He wanted to beat him
twice.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And he knows that I've said that about him. So it doesn't worry me, I'm telling you.
Peter Beeger used to do that. Beat him, beat him, beat him.
That's right, did he? Oh, he got that. He
and because the centre forwards, I can't remember who it was saying, oh, I'm exactly the same. I've got into the second 6 yard box, Jamie. The timing's perfect. And he's pulled it back to whip it in with the other foot or beat him three times, you know? Yeah.
Did though. And the difference was straight away, I noticed when I went to United, they had a right wing of Stevie Coppell.
Yeah.
And kind of, I'm watching him out at high corner and he beats the fella and I've gone near post and the ball's there.
Was that one of your favourite trick or things that you, the way near post run, was that one of your things or?
Well, you've got to learn how to lose people. They're not just going to let you go one after you. No. So yeah, look one way, go the other or whatever. So, but it was always there from Stevie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he could
and
do
I got my first goal for Stoke against Birmingham, at Birmingham. Through just that.
Yeah.
So that gives you confidence every game. And
yeah, yeah, absolutely. What about when you were with Huddy? Because everybody says that was when you had that. It was something that at times was like wonderful to watch. And it was. I mean, I was only a kid then, but.
Well, we always tell people, I mean, we never worked on it at all.
You just
gave a ball, we had a training and it came, then when games come, that was it.
It's amazing.
I'd look one way.
It's great.
I'd look one way and then the fella would go and I'd come back and the ball was there waiting for me. And vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it just was. You can't put words into it how good it was.
I know. And as you say, Jimmy, when you'd speak to Stoke fans from that era, people who, you know, who can remember, that you know, Hudson Greenough was the kids used to shout it and kick as they were kicking the ball across the street. Like, that's what they used to, you know.
But we couldn't wait to play, you know, every game at Stoke. We just wanted to, what all wanted, entertain them.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did.
Yeah, yeah, you did. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
But Udi will say to me when I see him, he just, all I get is how good Greenough was.
Is that what Udi says? Yeah, but.
So I said, Udi, all I get is how good you were. So, maybe, I don't know what you can.
Well, I think you were both loved it. I would say, Jimmy, that I won't tell Alan this, I don't know Alan to speak to, but. I think, you know, you've probably just nipped. I think you're just a little bit higher in the love stakes from the old Stoke fans, I think, absolutely. But, yeah, you were really absolutely brilliant together. And I don't think, even though I've got such admiration for the Tony Pulis team, I really have. I think the team that you played in with Sammons and Dennis and Bluto and Banksy, I think it had a magic about it, Jimmy.
There were some good players there that didn't get a recognition. Jeff Samuels, for example, what a great left winger, up, down. Mick Pedgick had a birthday, he did let him defend for him, attack for him. Oh, Mickey would go attacking and walk back, you know, and there's Sammy running back. But he was so fit, that lad.
Was he?
So fit.
Yeah. Did it hurt you never getting a full England cap? Because you talked about as the best player that's never played for England, Jimmy. And you know, and I don't want to embarrass you when I say that, but I think there's thousands of people would agree with that.
I didn't like. I had a chance, you know.
No, I didn't.
But
know.
You never guess who was manager at the time.
Don Revie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the what they call it. the press were clamouring for me and him to play, you know.
Oh, me and yeah, him. Yeah.
So when I say he kind of gave in, there was an under-23 game in Hungary.
Right.
So he picked us both as the overage players.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What do you do when we get there? Put me on right wing, an Uddie who hadn't got a left foot on the left wing.
Right.
I was amazed that Uddie never just bloody walked off.
Yeah, yeah. But he stuck
disgusted
it. Yeah. Well,
He didn't want us to do it.
No.
He didn't want us. No. He didn't want to be told by the press.
No, an ego thing well. Maybe, Jimmy. Yeah. Well, so the other thing that I try and do on the podcast, Jimmy, because there's quite a few youngsters who listen to this, what would you say, somebody who's obviously as a schoolboy got taken on and had an illustrious career and 600 games about Jimmy, was it something like that?
Well, play? I never kept anything like that. All the goals I scored, how many?
You're just too humble.
I don't know.
Too humble.
No, truthfully, I never did.
Well, let's say, you know, you've had a career, stellar career. And you're loved by many. What if you had to say to young kids today, I know the game's different, I know the world's different, I know that things are different. What would you say to young kids today who've got dreams of being a player?
Well, you must train hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't. I hated running up them Trent Mills. And anywhere else, that round the ground, at the Victoria Ground.
Yeah.
But I used to make up for it with what's called doggies.
Yeah.
And kind of go your 30-yard sprint, back 30-yard. And there's not many who beat me at that.
No.
But I understand like the cross-country break. But if you can do it, they must do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving you just a start to get fit. You can't go straight into sprinting.
No.
And, do it for your mum and dad.
Oh, that's nice.
Do it for your mum and dad.
Do you remember having them emotions to doing the pride for your mum and dad? Yeah.
I just wish my dad never saw Brian and me together.
No.
No.
And, yeah.
My mum did.
Yeah.
But my dad didn't.
Was your dad a big influence in your football? Or was it? Yeah.
He knew the game.
Yeah.
He knew the game.
Yeah. Yeah, and encouraged you when you were up in Barnsley.
He would at times have a go at me.
So
and I go to him. What's he on it? What's he on it? He says just trying to get you going better. You know more.
Yeah.
Once I knew that, I was fine.
Oh, that's great. That's a great story. Yeah. And so, is there anything about your career that you think I should have done that, or I should have done that, or if you look in hindsight, because hindsight's a great science, isn't it, Jimmy? You can all look back and think, you know what, I should have done that better, or, you know, is it something you don't necessarily think about?
No, I just think it's nice when kind of other managers, for example, say real good things, and then you know you're doing
it
right.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
And I remember that when I signed for Stoke.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story before that, right, with Stan Cullis.
Yeah.
And he called me into his office. He says, you want to see me, do you, Gafford? And I says, yeah. He says, you're not scoring enough goals. I says, hey, come on, what do you want me for? Because he was a little bit of a Mickey Taker or whatever. But he says, no, I'm not happy. When was the last time you scored? He said, this was on a third. I says, Saturday,
yeah.
I said, we beat Huddersfield 5-2. I said, I scored one. Jeff Bowden scored three. Phil Summerall scored the other one. I said, I remember it to this day.
Yeah.
He said, well, you're still not scoring enough goals.
Right.
And then I says to him, I said, right, you can get me out of here. I don't want to play for you again.
Seriously,
I'd scored 12 goals in 9 games.
Right.
And I said, it's actually a way of trying to G me
up. Not working.
Not working, mate.
Yeah.
But then, when I eventually was going to sign for Stoke, the final words that he said to Tony Waddington was, oh, by the way, Tony, I was there. He says, by the way, Tony, you've got a hell of a player there, mate. Oh. I just said, for him to say that, he'd no need to, had he really. He just,
no, but
I'm just telling you, Tony, he said, you've got a hell of a player there. He just bought a hell of a player. And that was nice.
Absolutely.
Really nice.
Because you were a record fee then, weren't you, Jimmy?
Well, yeah. not compared to today.
No, but at the time, yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's been absolutely great, Jimmy, that has. I mean, I wanted to ask you about the managers you played under, and you really have got a list of real eminent guys that you've played under there, and some of the players that you've played with, and you know, you've given me a great insight into that. So that's really, really good. Is there anything else, Jimmy, that you want to share? Now I've kind of picked your brains for 45 minutes, or anything else about your life or your career that you think, you know what, I'll
there will be when you've gone.
When I've gone, you'll think of something. Yeah, there's always something you wish you'd said. But, you know, you're still absolutely, because every...
You're guilty, aren't you, by the way?
That's not going on the podcast.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. Listen, I love things like that.
The girl with the babies. Right. Oh.
I know.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Wait till finish the podcast.
Yeah, it's all right. Jimmy, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've been... I can't, Marcus, I thank you for setting this up, because I really respect people's time. And Jimmy, you're still the most loved player in the 1970s, so when you speak to Rudzy, you can pass that on to you, mate, because so thank you very much, Jimmy. And
anytime. It's
bless you.
It's nice. There must be loads and loads, but I can't think at this moment in time, you know.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much, Jimmy.